Good afternoon. This afternoon's Bible reading is from Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 1 through to 17. Starting in verse 1, that can be found on page 1678 in the Pew Bibles if you're using those. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
I wish I could say I was cluey enough to pick the title, Putting Off the Old, On With the New, the weekend Jason was away, but that wouldn't be true. This is our last week in Colossians, and then Jason's going to be preaching, I think it's a three-week series on what happens when we die after this, so that should be really encouraging. But let's pray and we'll have a look at this together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks into our lives. We thank you that it shapes us and encourages us and all the things we need, Lord. And Lord, we pray this afternoon you'd help us to really focus in on it. And Lord, we pray that by your power that you would be working really deeply in us and changing us to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Liz and I had a night away on Magnetic Island together. It was really great, but it was possibly the first child-free 24 hours that we'd had in a couple of years. And so if you're a parent, you know your brain becomes wired to look out sort of where your kids are. And there's this weird couple of hours after we drop them off where every now and then we kind of look at each other and realize that no one was actually looking after the kids. Don't worry, someone was. They weren't just at home with a box of Weet-Bix. But there was this beautiful moment, right, when you realize you have this new freedom. There's only one mouth to feed, there's only one person to get across the road safely, only one bladder's timing to worry about. That moment of freedom is great, it's exciting. We used our freedom to eat chicken wings and chips on Picnic Bay, it was beautiful. But these moments of freedom happen for all of us at different points in our lives. Like when you get your license, the last day of exams, when assessments and exams are finished, when the last child moves out of home, when you moved away from home, perhaps when you've retired, when that stuff happens, there's an immediate sense of release and freedom. The restrictions and the rules that once applied seemingly are no longer relevant to you. But then the question of what's next pops up. What do I do with that freedom? Can I really just do whatever I want now? Well, in our series in Colossians, Paul has just shown us that because of Jesus, we're free from rules and restrictions to be made right with God, right? There's no longer this checklist of things to be made right with God. And he's shown us that Jesus has won us this freedom and this new life through his death on the cross in our place. But in light of this good news, Paul anticipates the next question. What do I do with that freedom? If there are no rules, there are no boxes to tick, if Jesus really has done it all, can I just do whatever I want now? You might say, How does our freedom shape our ethical decisions? How does it shape our day-to-day? Is it all just chicken wings and chips on the beach? Well, they're the questions that Paul answers for us in this passage. And in response to this freedom that we have as followers of Jesus, the first thing he says is to set your mind on things above. He says their minds shouldn't be on earthly things, but on things above. Follow along from chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, since then, you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, in the passage before this, Paul has just said that we were once dead in our sin, but now we've been made alive in Christ, having had our sin wiped away through Jesus' death on the cross, which is kind of what we just sort of celebrated that baptism points to with Flynn. But now he says we have this new life in Christ, which means there's a new way of doing things. This new life, Paul says in verse 1 there, is to be shaped by hearts set on things above. Literally, in the Greek, it says, seek things above. Now, he isn't saying become a bunch of airheads with our minds in the clouds. But what he's saying here is to set your minds on Jesus. Set your life on him. Above all things, pursue Jesus. Set your mind on your King who rules and reigns over everything in the universe. This truth must shape their thoughts, but also their actions now. And so Paul says in verse 2, set your minds on this truth, right? And not on earthly things. The reason for this, he says in verse 3, is for you died, and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. You might be thinking, no, I haven't died. Not yet, at least, from boredom from this. But Paul is saying that you have died to this earthly stuff when you became a follower of Jesus. And so it's no longer about who dies with the most toys wins. Your lives and your freedom isn't about getting the most stuff you can here and now. You died to it, right? So set your minds on things above, because your new life, he says, is hidden with Christ or in Christ. Now, what he means by that sounds a little bit weird, right? Our lives hidden in Christ. What he means there is our lives are hidden in the sense that we know that we're true. We know that it's true that we're safe in Jesus, but we can't quite see that for ourselves yet. So we're hidden, right? It's yet to be revealed. But a day is coming, says verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Now, whilst our lives are hidden in Christ now, a day will come when everything's going to be seen for as it really is, when the curtains are pulled back on history. And on that day coming, Jesus will return in all his glory and his majesty. And we get swept up in it, Paul says, because we are in Christ. We died with him, so we're going to rise with him, and we're going to share in his victory as well. And so if that's the moment that everything in history is leading to and pointing to, if that's where everything is heading, a day when Jesus is revealed as the King over all things, then it makes sense, doesn't it, that we would set our minds on things above. Now, my little family technically consists of 7 members. There's 5 humans and 2 dogs. We have 2 beagles. That's Humphrey on the left and little Delilah on the right. But if you know beagles, they're actually originally bred as hunting dogs, I think potentially over in the UK to hunt rabbits or something like that. I will say, as they've been domesticated, that's very much been bred out of them. Humphrey could probably hunt down a cheeseburger and that's about it. But the thing is with beagles, right, if you've ever owned one, I know some of you here have, you know that when their tails are up and their noses are down, their ears are just shut off, right? They are locked in. There's no calling them back. You could stand there like a goose at the dog park calling Humphrey and people are going to stare at you. He's not coming back, right? He's gone. He's locked in. He's fixed on his target. They're going to seek that thing above all else, right? No calling, no yelling, no distraction is bringing them back. They're locked in. And I think that's the picture that Paul is painting for us here. Paul wants followers of Jesus to seek things above all other things, despite all distractions. He wants us to be dialed in to seeking Jesus, having our minds set on the truth that he's the ruling and reigning King now. That's where he wants our minds to be. So the question for us is, what is your mind on right now? What are you seeking above all else? Now, you might have heard this before, but I think a really helpful diagnostic tool here is to think about the things you daydream about during the week. What does that tell you about what you are ultimately seeking? Is it things here on earth, or is it things above? Jesus' own words here are really pointed, really helpful in this space. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if our treasures are here, so too will our hearts and our minds be here on things on earth. So where is your mind? Where is your heart? Is it on things on earth or things above? Is it on the next 9 holes at Tropics Golf Course? Is it on the next property you're going to buy? Is it on the dream job that you're chasing, maybe after uni, the relationship you long for, the weekend, the next holiday? What is your mind on? Now, Paul doesn't want the church to become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. You might have heard that saying before. Nor does Paul deny here that the stuff we have in our lives are good gifts from God. He's not saying that. But he is recognizing the fact, and I think we know this to be true, that it is really easy for each of us, even as Christians, to have our hearts and our minds set on the wrong things. We can become so focused on earthly things, our jobs, our careers, stuff that we think brings us control and comfort, even ourselves, right? We can be so focused on this stuff that we forget that we've been given this new life in Jesus, and we can forget where we're going. See, Paul has said here, right, that as followers of Jesus, we've died to these earthly things. And because we trust in Jesus, our lives are on this heavenly trajectory. And so I wonder if our lives reflect that truth. And don't hear me say that, and don't hear Paul say that stuff here on earth doesn't matter. He isn't saying that. But he is saying that our minds and our thinking and our understanding, our whole perspective, is to be informed by things above, by Jesus, who is the ruling and reigning King now. And a few ways that we can encourage ourselves in this and to make sure our minds are in the right place, I think really simply, it's just to keep meeting together as God's people. Whether that's during the week of Bible study, whether that's reading the Bible one-on-one, whether that's turning up here together on a Sunday to spend time in his word, which points us to things above, but also time in prayer. That stuff's really good for us and it's really important to help us seek things above. But along with this new way of thinking comes a new way of doing things. And so the next thing Paul says is that we've got to put to death our old way of living and put on this new life, this new self, this new way of living. Now from verse 5, Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, at one level, this might sound a bit odd, right? Maybe a bit contradictory. Paul has just said that rules, right? That kind of stuff doesn't apply to us to be right with God, right? He's just kind of labored that throughout this letter. And so at one level, it might sound strange, like he's contradicting himself. But we need to understand Paul's logic here, how he's actually thinking and his argument that he's making. He's just said that through Jesus, we have this new life in him, right? We've died to our old self. We've died to that earthly, fleshly, sinful stuff. And we've been given this new life. We've been raised new in Jesus. And so because we have this new life, he says, that must impact the way we live now. Now, he isn't saying, we need to get this right? He isn't saying, if you want this new life, he's not putting like a conditional clause on it. But what he's saying here is that you have this new life, therefore, right? You have this new life in Jesus, therefore, put to death the way you used to live. Stop acting like it's all about you. Stop acting and taking what's not yours. Stop acting in your own self-interest, he says in verse 5. He goes on to say in verse 6 that this stuff, this sinful stuff, is actually what's wrong with the world, which is why God is coming back to judge the world and to make it all right again. He goes on to say in verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. I was chatting to a friend this week, we were reading through this passage, and they were saying that they find passages like this, which sort of give us sort of ethical instructions for how we're to live as followers of Jesus, really hard. And for them, almost a little bit discouraging, because they know how much stuff they struggle, like they actually fall short in a lot of these areas. So I think it's actually really important to say here that we are still sinful. That even as followers of Jesus, we're still sinful. Sin plays a big part in this world, and it will until Jesus comes back. And so this side of heaven, we still will fail. But my friend said they don't want to do this stuff anymore. They try not live this stuff out, right? And so it needs to be said, right, because he struggles with this stuff, and I know a lot of us do, it doesn't mean we're not legit Christians. I think the fact that we recognize we struggle with it actually points to the fact that we want to live Jesus' way. We want to put off our old self and put on the new. We want to live God's way. And as verse 9 says, and for my friend, he's taken off his old self, and in verse 10, he's put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, Paul's using a clothing image here, right? He says, when we died with Christ, we put off our old, shabby, worn-out clothes, and we've been given this brand new set. And in this new set, right, this new self that he's talking about here, it's being renewed in the image of Jesus. That's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? God is working in each of us as followers of Jesus to make us more like Jesus. We're being renewed, we're being changed, we're being transformed into the image of the Son of God, which is what we were meant to look like in terms of the characteristics and all that sort of stuff before sin entered the world. We're being restored into Jesus' image as we were made to be. Verse 11 says that this is true of people of all nations. Whether there's Jew, there's Gentile, slave or free, all people who are followers of Jesus are being renewed into the image of Jesus. Now, up until this point, Paul has been telling us what to put off, right? Like clothing to take off. Now he's going to tell us what we need to put on as followers of Jesus. And from verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He's saying here, because you are God's people, this is how you're to act. He's not saying do this or else, right? He's not putting a clause on this, a condition on this. He's not saying do this or else, but he's saying live this way because you are forgiven. Clothe yourself this way because you have this new life in Jesus. As God's people, he says in verse 13, we're to endure with one another and bear with one another. He says we're to forgive each other in the same way that Jesus has forgiven us, and we're to love one another deeply. This new uniform, this new clothing of God's people, whilst worn individually, right, it's for each of us, it's also to characterize and shape the church, right, to shape all of God's people. And so in verse 15, he says to the church, let the peace of Christ rule. Verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell. And finally in verse 17, he says, do it all in the name of Jesus. This new life is to be so Christ-shaped, right, for the church. This new self is Christ-shaped, and it's not just for the individual, but the whole people of God are to put on this new self. And now, when I was in high school, I used to work in the deli at Coles over at Coles Aikenvale. So I would serve up the seafood, slice up the ham, and cook the chickens. That was my least favourite job. Serving seafood was pretty bad too, actually. But this was also in the days before the deli got all bougie. It didn't used to look like that. I don't know if you recall. Coles has gone under a big rebrand lately. But I remember at the end of my shift, and if you've ever worked, or if you've ever known someone who's worked in a deli, you know what they smell like at the end of my shift. Flynn's mum knows what I'm talking about. But I remember at the end of my shift, I'd get in the car, and my dad would look at me just with this look of disgust on his face. The seafood, the deli meat, the chickens, it all just sort of soaked into this uniform. That and a healthy combination of Lynx Africa just meant I smelled just rank. It was disgusting. I couldn't eat deli meat for a long time after I worked at Coles. But I love getting home, getting out of the uniform, taking it off, having a shower, putting on something fresh, taking off the old, putting on the new. And that's the image that Paul wants us to understand here. He wants to take off our old selves, our old sinful selves, and live up to who we are in Christ. He wants us to take off our old sin-stained, seafood-smelling uniforms and to live out who we were saved to be in Christ. And so I wonder, are you doing that? Are you living out who you were saved to be? Have you taken off the old earthly clothes? Have you put to death the gossip, the way you think about the opposite sex? Have you cleaned up your mouth, the way you speak about other people, the way the words you use, the jokes you tell? Have you put on the new? Have you clothed yourself with kindness for other people, humility, and love for one another? I get really intimidated and disheartened when I read this big list of things that I need to do because I know how much I suck at most of them. And I think it needs to be said, right, at one level, Paul wants us to have a really strong attitude towards sin, right? He says put to death. That's really decisive, right? There's something really immediate about that. That needs to be our attitude towards sin. But I know we can be really helpless in the face of all the stuff that we feel we need to work on and we struggle with. And so I wonder, in response to this passage, if this week we could pick one thing to work really hard to put off this week. Maybe for you, you might pick being a little slower to anger at people, being patient with them as God is patient with you. It could be putting off lust. It may mean putting someone's interest over your own. Paul lists a heap of things in this passage that we can work on. And it's not meant to be an exhaustive list, right? But I wonder which thing you could pick off that list to put off this week. And perhaps which one you could work at replacing it with and putting something on. Perhaps there's someone that you need to forgive. Someone who's wronged you in some way. And you need to forgive like Jesus has forgiven you. Maybe you need to put on love. And go speak to that new person at church or that person you've never really chatted to. And love them by getting to know them. And caring for them. That's really loving. There are a couple of simple ways. Well, not so simple, they're hard. But there's a couple of ways to start. But friends, as this passage shows us, and it's told us, God is actually working through us, right, to renew us more and more into the image of Jesus. So in that sense, it's actually really encouraging here to know that this isn't happening by our own power, but God by his Spirit is working in us. And so it's actually really good for us to ask God that he would help us to take off this stuff, to put on the good stuff, to make us more like Jesus each day. And as we work on this stuff, we actually need to remember where Paul's coming from here, right? Because if you trust in Jesus here today, you've been made one of God's people, right? There's nothing that's going to change it. If you trust in Jesus, you are God's people. That won't change. And so this passage isn't saying, do this stuff or else, right? You're going to get kicked out of the kingdom. That's not what it's saying. But the fundamental point is that Paul wants you to live out who you are in Christ. He wants you to live out who you were saved to be. And don't forget who you are now. And so we started off by asking the question, how do we use this newfound freedom as followers of Jesus? And Paul has shown us that it doesn't mean that we can just go do whatever we want now. It's not all just chicken wings and chips on the beach. But this new life in Jesus calls us to seek things above. It calls us to have our minds set on the ruling and reigning Lord Jesus. And it calls us to put off who we once were and to put on our new selves as followers of Jesus as we live out who we were saved to be. Let's pray and ask God for help in doing that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel in that your Son Jesus has done it all. We thank you that he's rescued us from our sin and our brokenness. And through his death in our place, he's made us one of your own. Father, we pray that you would help us to live that out by setting our minds on the truth that your Son is the King of the universe. Let this shape our priorities, the things that are on our mind, the way we use our time. Let this truth that your Son is King be the shaping factor in our lives. And Father, as you live out who we were saved to be, help us to put off our old sinful self and whatever that one thing is, Lord, and help us to put on that one new thing, Lord, that you want us to be. Father, we pray that you would work really powerfully in each of us to make us more like Jesus each day, to make us more and more into his image. We pray that you'd help us to trust in him always. Amen.